ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 55 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डाउनफॉल ऑफ शौबरी मुनि। टेक्स्ट 55 स्वपत्योर्महाराज निरीक्ष्याद्मिकीं गतिम् अन्वियुस्तत्प्रभावेन अग्निं शान्तम् इवार्चिषः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। O Maharaj Parikshit, by observing their husband progressing in spiritual existence, Shaubari Muni's wives were also able to enter the spiritual world by his spiritual power, just as the flames of a fire cease when the fire is extinguished. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Striyo Vaishya Tata Shudras Te Api Yantim Param Gatim. Women are not considered very powerful in following spiritual principles. But if a woman is fortunate enough to get a suitable husband who is spiritually advanced, and if she always engages in his service, she also gets the same benefit as her husband. Here it is clearly said that the wives of Shaubari Muni also entered the spiritual world by the influence of their husband. They were unfit, but because they were faithful followers of their husband, they also entered the spiritual world with him. Thus, a woman should be faithful servant of her husband, and if the husband is spiritually advanced, the woman will automatically get the opportunity to enter the spiritual world. Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहम श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं स्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओ महाराज परीक्षित, बाय ऑब्जर्विंग देयर हस्बैंड प्रोग्रेसिंग इन स्पिरिचुअल एग्जिस्टेंस, Shaubari Muni's wives वर एबल टू एंटर द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड बाय हिज स्पिरिचुअल पावर, जस्ट एज द फ्लेम्स ऑफ अ फायर सीज व्हेन द फायर इज एक्सटिंग्विश्ड। फॉर एन एडवांसिंग डिवोटी, बट as this pastime is progressing, as Shukdev Goswami is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj, it ends in a such a beautiful way that even though Shaubari Muni fell down, but ultimately he also achieved success by his regretting his fall down. At the same time, the most beautiful aspect of that is, of his pastime, is even though he got married to 50 wives, the daughters of Mandata, along with him, all of them were also delivered. They also went back home, back to Godhead in this. And that is how this whole pastime, this narration is ending. So, in this purport, it is a controversial purport, but there is also another dimension to understand it. So, in this purport, Prabhupada mentions certain important points which has to be understood from a proper perspective, which can also be taken in the other way to create conflicts also. So here Prabhupada mentions that in the purport, that women are basically not very powerful. As soon as a woman may hear, they may fight or they may feel inferior. You know, are we not powerful? Especially in today's day and time. If this statement has been spoken by Prabhupada 40 years before, or if Shukdev Goswami is mentioning 5,000 years before, then we could consider, but at least not, it is not now the case. But still, we have to understand it from a different point of view. The second point which Prabhupada mentions is, they are not fortunate enough. But even though, if they are not powerful, but if they are fortunate enough to have a spiritually advanced husband, then they can benefit as much as their husbands are benefiting. So, Saubari Muni's wives, they were unfit. But what was their qualification? Prabhupada mentions a purport. Their only qualification was that they were the faithful followers of their husband. And this is a very important and essential quality for every wife to imbibe in her life, to be a faithful follower of the husband, provided the husband is a wonderful devotee. Otherwise, if a husband is a drunkard, and if they read this purport and say, we have to be a faithful follower of her husband, then what will happen? Husband will get a bottle, and the wife will say, mil baitenge do yaar, hum tum aur, something like that. That does not refer to that. So, the husband has to be an advanced devotee, or at least a devotee properly. So the wife has to follow that husband, and the result is, automatically, she will also get an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, or progress on the path of devotional service along with her husband. So, in this pastime, we can learn that how one can be successful in one's spiritual life. And that is what all the goal of every endeavoring or every sadhaka is. That whatever I am doing, ultimately, at least before I leave in this body, before I leave this body, or as long as I'm in this body, I should achieve perfection of my life and become successful. At least that should be the endeavor, or that is the endeavor. As soon as a person comes, however, it may depend, or it may not depend on whether the person is serious or not serious, but this is a basic thing. Initially, when a person comes, this is the desire with which he enters Krishna consciousness, that I have to finish off my business in this very lifetime. With that mood he comes, and he has to maintain that mood. But it is not only the desire that is needed for one to go back home, back to Godhead. There are many other things that has to be accompanied along with it if one really has to be successful. So what are those? So the basic thing, I'm not going to speak something great. This all of us have heard. I'm just going to repeat things. So the most important thing for one to progress on the path of spiritual life is one has to follow the instructions. One has to serve the devotees. So serving the spiritual master, which can be compared to one's husband. So we'll discuss this whole pastime in relationship of a spiritual master and a disciple. So following the spiritual master or serving the spiritual master can be in two ways, as we all know, and Prabhupada very nicely mentions this. It can be through vapu, serving his body, and it can be through vani. Right? So we'll discuss first that how to serve the vapu, the body. So this is very beautifully explained in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the pastime of Devahuti, marriage of Devahuti and Kardamuni. So first of all, for every disciple or every sadhaka who wants to progress or become successful, what he has to do or how one can serve the spiritual master in a perfect and a nice way so that service leads him to come close towards the spiritual master and to receive his mercy. So the first thing is one has to understand, one has to associate with the spiritual master or the devotee. That spiritual master may be Diksha Guru, and it may most importantly be Siksha Guru, because one may not get a chance to associate with Diksha Guru always, unless and until you are in the inner circle of your spiritual master. But Siksha Guru is there always, there to understand us, to hear us, and to receive our service, and transfer that service to our Diksha Guru. So first of all is, one has to accept the association of Guru. And when you associate with the Guru, Most important thing is one has to understand the mood of the guru and one has to understand the desires of the guru. These are first and the important step in trying to be successful. Try to associate with him and understand the mood and the desires of the spiritual master. And in this 23rd chapter of the third canto, where Devahuti, after getting married to Kardamuni, because Swayambhuva Manu had offered his daughter Devahuti to Kardamuni, and it is very essential to know the background of Devahuti, because Devahuti is not an ordinary girl. Devahuti is a daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, the king of the entire, that whole Manvantara, and he is the emperor of the entire planet Earth that time, ruling over the entire planet Earth. And Devahuti, not only coming from a very rich and opulent family, she herself is so beautiful that when she was playing on the terrace of her palace, the demigod Vishwavasu, when he saw her just playing with a ball, just by seeing at the beauty, he was traveling, was on his airplane, he fell down at her beauty, just seeing her beauty. He fell down from his airplane, imagine. So she was from a rich aristocratic family, very intelligent, very beautiful, everything. And what was Kardamuni? Material. From material point of view, Kardamuni did not have even a house to stay, even though he was spiritually advanced. And that is what Swayambhuva Manu saw, that I don't want my daughter to get married to some materially advanced person, but I want to get him married, her married, to a spiritually advanced person. And he got married. And after the marriage, Devahuti came and she stayed. It was like complete paradigm shift for Devahuti, coming from one circle, from one lifestyle to another lifestyle. And she did not regret, she did not complain to her father that, my dear father, what a choice of yours. Did you, what sort of bride have you selected, or groom have you selected for me? This is not good. I don't want to stay with him. I want to come back. No, she did not complain. She just stayed with her husband and she served Kardamuni. So it is very beautifully mentioned. Pitribhyam prastite sadvi patim ignita kovida nityam pariyarcharat pritya bhavaniva bhavanam prabho. So how did she serve her husband? She served her husband exactly like Bhavani, like Goddess Durga served Lord Shiva. Because Bhavani or Parvati, she was also daughter of the king of mountains, Himalayas. She was also from a very affluent family. And when she got married to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva did not even have a house to stay. Lord Shiva was just staying in the mountains, not even under a tree. And she was ready to stay with her husband and serve her husband. That same mood was adopted by Devahuti also. And she was loving her father. He got her married to Kardamuni and just left. They left her with her husband. But without any complaining, she just served regularly her husband, who was completely immersed in his meditation. He did not even bother that, oh, my wife has come, so let me fulfill her desires or let me see to her requirements, whatever she needs. He was completely transcendental to her needs. But she did not complain. She just nityam, with all love, with pritya, with all her love and devotion, she completely engaged in serving her husband without any regrets. And so therefore, the essential point we can learn from this is that when we come in Krishna consciousness, all of us have certain lifestyles in which we are raised up and which in the course of our growth we have adopted, depending upon the association in which we are raised up or association which we have acquired. So all of us develop certain lifestyle. And when we become devotees, what happens? Those very lifestyle starts forming an obstructions on the path of devotional service or to increase our surrender. The very lifestyles, especially when you want to completely dedicate, when you even think of that, I want to surrender my life for the mission, but you say, no, I'm not, you know, getting up early in the morning, it's too difficult for me. Late night sleeping, too difficult for me. Prasad, I don't like this sort of prasad. So many other things may be there. Sleeping on the floor, on a mat, it may not be easy for me. So that is how the lifestyle is. And because we have selected this lifestyle, What happens? If we are not able to change those lifestyles, what happens? Then those very lifestyles act as stumbling blocks in the path of our surrender. So therefore, if one is desirous of getting proper destination, then one has to make proper choice in life. And depending on the choice what you make, one has to adjust or adapt with one's lifestyles. So destination is dependent upon lifestyle, and based on that lifestyle we make choices in our life. But if we want to achieve ultimate destination, if we want to come close to Krishna, then what is required? One has to adapt, one has to adjust with one's lifestyles, and that adjustments will give us an ability and power to make proper choices, and that choice will take us to the ultimate destination. So LCD is there. So but LCD, lifestyle, choice and destination. But what is the most important thing? Adjustment and adaptability. That will completely change or get you to your destination. And that is what Devahuti did. That is what Parvati did. They adjusted their lifestyles. They did not complain. They did not say, no, we are not going to stay with our Kardamuni. Let him finish his tapasya and then, or let him become Gharjamai. You know? They did not say like that. They stayed with their husband, they served. And they took the responsibility of, even though the husband may not be physically there, they took the responsibility of managing the entire family. And this is very beautifully also seen in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Mother Yashoda, Gaur Gopal Prabhu was very beautifully explaining in this series of lectures which took on killing of the demons. So when Shaktasura had come, I think Shaktasura Trinavat. So when baby Krishna, for the first time, he started turning, Uttana ceremony, that Uttana ceremony. And that time Nanda Maharaj was not there. But the Vedic time was that every aspect of a child's growth is celebrated at a festival. So that time when Krishna took his first turn, that Uttana ceremony, Uttana it is called, and today is Uttana, Utpanna or Uttana Ekadashi, where Lord Vishnu is going to get up today. So that time, Mother Yashoda wanted to have a festival on occasion of Lord Krishna turning around. But Nanda Maharaj was not there. But she did not delay the festival. She took the responsibility on herself and she took charge of the entire management and she overseed the festival. Whatever was required, everything she did. Adjustments. Not waiting for Nanda Maharaj to do or to come. And then, so therefore, she knew, Mother Yashoda knew the mood of and the desire of Nanda Maharaj. That even if Nanda Maharaj is going to come, he is going to have this festival. So she took the responsibility. She took the responsibility and got the festival done. And same thing, Bhavani, Parvati and Devahuti, they also understood the mood of their husband. That here, our husbands are meditating for a higher goal in life. So let us just understand their mood, understand their desire and adjust ourselves. That was the first principle which is required in trying to serve the Vapu of Guru. And second is service. It is not just understanding the mood, okay, my spiritual master has a mood, so let him continue with his mood and let him go on with his business. I have nothing to do. No, second thing is one has to become part of his service. One has to become his assistant. And that is also beautifully mentioned here in the same series of verses that how Devahuti served her husband Kardamuni. Vishrambhena sauchena gauravena damena cha shushrukshaya sauridena vacha madhurya madhurya yachabho. She served her husband with full intimacy. She served her husband with full intimacy with great respect. Normally what happens when you become intimate in the process of service, when you are involved in the service, you tend to become more intimate because every time your guru may come and tell you, give instructions, you may come in the close circle and then you feel, oh, I become the inner member of my Guru Maharaj, a member of the inner circle of my guru. I become his intimate associate. But the flaw of that intimate association is one tends to take that person very cheaply, lightly. There is every chance that seeds of offenses are sown at that time. As they say, familiarity breeds contempt. But here, Devahuti not only served her husband intimately, but also along with that intimacy, she always nourished that aspect of great respect for the husband. Understanding the position, that what is the position of my husband, and accordingly acting with full control of senses. The third aspect what she did was Dameinacha. With full control of senses and with full love. Not crying, not grumbling that what is this service has been given to me. I don't want to do it. It is not according to my choice. This is what not I desired for. This is not what I came here for. With full love and with sweet words. This is how she served her husband. With intimacy, with great respect, with control of senses, with love and sweet words. So for the sweet words, Prabhupada in that purport makes a very beautiful statement. This is in relation to husband and wife. He says, husband, a person becomes agitated by so many material contacts. There was a man, now women also go today out to work, but previously only man used to go. So a man when he goes out to work, what happens? He has to meet with so many people. He has to have so many material contacts. So Prabhupada writes, a person becomes agitated by so many material contacts in outside world. Therefore, in his life, he must be treated by his wife with sweet words. If in his office, he's working, you know, he might have so many grudges, his boss may chastise him, you know, he may fight with people. And when he comes home, and if he finds the same mood, what will happen? He will not even like to stay in his house. So what is the duty of the wife? The duty of the wife is to welcome him with some sweet words, at least, if not any other thing. So similarly, the spiritual master, guru, he may have so many responsibilities. He may travel everywhere. But when he comes home, what is the duty of the disciple? Not to just dump on him all the complaints. Maharaj, in your absence, so many things happened. This happened, that happened. So many, you know. He will say, I have come here to take some rest, to relax. This is, I have come home. This is my place to relax. So devotees have to welcome with sweet words, not to dump him with more and more problems. Wife has to manage in her house. Disciples, senior devotees have to manage among themselves unless and until the problem is so severe that they cannot manage, then they should approach the spiritual master. Otherwise, one should manage among themselves, cooperate among themselves, solve the problems, and not even allow the problems to come to the spiritual master. That is what Prabhupada writes, that at least with sweet words, one should welcome one's husband. And it is not only that serving with intimacy, great respect, control of senses, love and sweet words. All these things cannot be achieved. You cannot serve with all these free qualities unless and until the heart becomes free from anarthas. Because these are all good qualities. Good qualities won't manifest unless and until the bad qualities are out of the heart. So therefore, along with the service, what a devotee has to do? He has to cultivate, or he has to work on to remove his anarthas. That is one of the third aspect which one should do. So service should be accompanied by giving up so many anarthas. And why should one give up anarthas? So that one can serve in a pure way. Normally, what happens is, we get service. But why do we get that service? That service is there just to purify us. That is the mercy on part of the spiritual master that is bestowing on us. The spiritual master wants to purify us, therefore is involving us in his inner circle and giving us some service. But that does not mean that, yes, I am getting mercy, so I'll be puffed up and thinking that, yes, I am the inner circle of my Guru Maharaj and let me just continue with whatever I am. No. Guru gives mercy, that is his, you know, he gives his grace, that is his mercy. But what a disciple has to do, what a devotee has to do? Try to purify himself so that he can reciprocate with the mercy of the Guru to serve better, to serve his Guru better. And for that, at every moment, he has to work on purifying himself to overcome his anarthas by following his sadhana properly, basic thing. And when you, as the anarthas come out from the heart, You get more and more purified, and as you get purified, the quality of your service increases. You are able to do service in a much better way. And when you do service in a much better way, that is a pleasure, a cause of pleasure to the spiritual master. So along with serving with all these qualities, Devahuti was also trying to nourish, culture, the qualities of, or trying to remove the anarthas from her heart. So how she was serving? Visrijaya kamam dhambam cha dvesham lobham aghammadam apramatto daya nityam teji asam atoshayat. She was serving, but along with that, she was trying to free herself from all lust. She was trying to remove or present her service free from all lust. Lust free, pride free, envy free, greed free, and vanity free. This is the gift which she was trying to give in return to husband. A purified gift to her husband. So service is there. Initially all of us do service. But how much is our service free from the taints of all these things? How much it is free from lust? How much it is free from pride, envy, greed, sinful activities and vanity? So one has to nourish. One has to try to purify one's heart to give a better service. So giving up the anarthas is better for perfect service and for the pleasure of Krishna and Guru. And this is how Devahuti was serving Kardamuni. And this is what we have to do. This is on the part of the devotee. This is on the part of the disciple has to do. This Guru cannot do. Guru cannot free you from anarthas. He can give you the process to free from anarthas. He can go to the market, get all the ingredients. He can cook for you. He can serve you. He can even put that meal in your mouth. That is what Guru can do. But he cannot swallow for you. That is what we have to do. We have to swallow. We have to swallow that thing, that food which has been put in our mouth by our Guru. And if we cannot swallow that food, then Guru or anyone cannot do anything for our progress. So that every devotee has to keep in mind, or at least try to follow. And then this last point which Prabhupada, or this Devahuti which is mentioning, vanity. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, one very important point: the most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. So similarly for a devotee also, for a disciple also, this is very essential. Sometimes you may not like the behavior or the attitude or the way of working of devotees or your Siksha Guru. You cannot change your Guru, and people even change the Guru also. Or you may feel, my Guru is giving me less, or my Siksha Guru is not giving me something which I need. There are others, you know, other processes, other ways, other places where I can get much more. But that is not what is expected. That is most sinful. And therefore, Chanakya Pandit says, there are four enemies. First is the wife, second is the mother, son and the father. When they become the enemies? When the wife looks out for another husband or a lover. When the mother looks out for another husband in the presence of grown-up children. When the son is a fool and the father makes a lot of debts for his child. They are the four enemies which Chanakya Pandit mentions. And when you do all these three things, when you associate and understand the mood of the Guru, when you serve the Guru and simultaneously work on with removing the anarthas, then what happens? And one more thing that is there, the fourth thing is, in that process of trying to serve Guru, one may have to experience or undergo a lot of inconveniences at physical level, at mental level. So Devahuti also underwent that. Kalena bhuyasa kshanam karishtam vrata charyaya prema gadgaya vacha pidita kripaya bravit. So because of Kardamuni completely being in trance in his meditation, he had in one sense neglected Devahuti. And on one side was Kardamuni's neglect, and the other side was Devahuti's complete surrender to her husband. engaging in devotional service to her husband, performing austerities. And what had happened? She had completely shrunk. She had become weak. She had become emaciated. She had lost all her beauty because of her weakness. So all these inconveniences one may have to face while trying to serve. So one has to understand the mood. One has to serve. One has to work on removing the anarthas. And in the process of trying to serve, one may have to tolerate all the inconveniences. And when a disciple does this, or when a devotee does this, then what happens? Then actual the mercy of Guru flows. Grace of Krishna flows. And that is what happened. When Kardamuni, when he came out of his meditation, and when he saw his wife Devahuti in such a miserable condition, and when he understood that it is because of me, it is because of my neglect, it is because of my carelessness that my wife has been transformed into such a condition. What did he do? Prema gadgadaya vacha. He became ecstatic. And he started speaking loving words. Pidita kripaya bhavit. He understood that this pida, this pain which my wife has undergone, it is because of me. And then, when the guru sees the selfless service of his disciple, then the mercy flows and there is a transfer of grace. Because the guru has grace with him, he has mercy with him, which he is collecting by his service, by his, you know, love for the his mission, for his guru and for the deities. So then when the guru sees that how my disciple is doing selfless service for me, then what does he do? He transfers that grace to his disciple. And that is what Kardamuni did to Devahuti, seeing her selfless service. Ye me swadharma niratasya tapas samadhi vidhyatma yoga vijita bhagavat prasadaha tan evate madhya anusevanarj arjan varrudham drishtim prapasya vitarami abhayam ashokam. And what is this grace? So Kardamuni is telling his wife Devahuti that I have achieved the blessings of the Lord in discharging my own religious life of austerity, meditation and Krishna consciousness. Although you have not experienced these achievements, which are free from fear and lamentation, I shall offer them all to you because you are engaged in my service. Now look at them. I am giving you the transcendental vision to see how nice they are. So this is how the guru functions with the service, or this is how the guru reciprocates with the service of his disciple. Transferring of the grace. And Prabhupada mentions what the grace is in the purport. What the grace is? The grace is one becomes free from shoka, lamentation, and one becomes free from fear. And that is the two basic disease of this every living entity of this existing in this material world. Every person is always fearful, and every person is always lamenting. And then he says that, why am I giving you this grace? Devahuti may say, I don't want your grace. That is not what I require. I want a nice palace for me to stay. Conditions which were exactly like my father. But Kardamuni is saying that, why am I giving you this grace of Ashoka and Abhayam? He says, what is the use? Kardamuni is telling, what is the use of enjoyment other than the grace of the Lord? All material achievements are subject to annihilation simply by the movement of the eyebrows of Lord Vishnu. By your pure devotional service, you have achieved and can enjoy transcendental gift very rarely obtained even by persons who are proud of aristocracy and material possessions. So I am giving you something which even people, those who possess material possessions, cannot get. Those who are aristocratic, even they cannot get. I am giving you something which is beyond all material possessions. And this is how this the spiritual master blesses his disciple with. So this is one way of serving the guru, through the when you serve the body of your guru. And the second thing that comes is the vani. I may take some time today because today there is no breakfast and Ekadashi also. So please bear with me and tolerate with me. So the second thing is following the instruction of the Guru, Vani, which Prabhupada says is the most important thing. Because Vappu may not be there always, whether it be Diksha Guru or Siksha Guru. It may not be always. And what is there always, or what is going to be there always, it is the Vani of Guru. So that is the most important way to serve the Guru. And this is very beautifully. It is there throughout our Shastras, but it is very nicely depicted in one of the small pastime which all of us know, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the instance of where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami in the explanation of the Atmaram verse. So there he gives the story of Mrigrari. So all of us know the story of Mrigrari, that how we used to kill the animals, used to half kill the animals and just leave them to suffer. And one day when Narada Muni was passing by, when he saw these animals, they were crying pitiably, being half killed, he was looking out for, who's this person who's doing such a heinous job? And then he found out that there was Mrigrari. And then he told Mrigrari, why are you doing like this? If you want to kill, kill them fully. Why are you half killing them? That this is how I have been trained. Right from my childhood I have been doing this. And this gives me a lot of fun. But then Narada Muni says, you may get fun, but then what about the sin? And then Narada Muni gave him that Durdarshan. That this is how, this, see the result of your sinful actions. And then he became so fearful. He understood, he started repenting. And then he fell down at the feet of Narada Muni. He says, Ehi papayai mora ke mane upai, nistara karoho more padu to mar pai. He's telling, I am falling at your feet, O Narada Muni. Please tell me, how can I be delivered from my sinful reactions? For all the sins which I have committed, how can I become free from that? Please guide me. So then Narada Muni says, Narada kahe yadi dhara amara vachane, tabase karite pare tomara mochane. I can deliver you, provided you are ready to follow my instructions, whatever I will say. If you are ready to do that, then I will deliver you. That is my promise. That is my, you know, words to you. So this hunter, Mrigrari, he accepted. So this is what we also do. When somebody tells us, yes, I am ready to follow everything, whatever you say, you know, everything is there, I am ready to follow whatever instructions you give, I am completely surrendered soul. We present ourselves like this. But then, this hunter also told Narada Muni, Vyada kahe yehi kaho sehita kariba, that whatever you say, I will do. Then Narada Muni, immediately, as soon as he agreed to follow the instructions, what did Narada Muni say? Narada kahe dhanu ka bhanga tabe se kahiba. What do you do first? You break your bow. So the Guru, he knows properly what is your weakness. And he directly attacks that. And what was the weakness of Mrigrari? The possession, the attachment was that bow. Because without that bow, he could not kill animals. That was not possible for him. So therefore, Narada Muni attacked at the first stage. He said, break your bow. So when you try to surrender, one will always be tested. And here Narada Muni is trying to test Mrigrari with the first instruction. It is like an aptitude test. When you go for interview, you are first subjected to aptitude test. If you pass in that, then there are further rounds of interview. So Narada Muni was taking aptitude test. Are you ready to break the bow? But immediately, as soon as this hunter heard that I have to break my bow, he was shocked. He could not digest it. He was confused. And what does he say? Vyada kahe dhanu ka bhangila vartiba ke mone. If I break my bow, how will I survive? Because this bow is the source of my survival. How will I live? But then Narada Muni says, Narada kahe amiyan dibo prati dine. He says, don't worry. You may be thinking that the source of your income is the source of your maintenance. But that is not the case. You break your bow, and I promise that every day whatever food, whatever quantity of food you need for your survival and maintenance, I will provide that. That was Narada Muni's promise. And then When Ligrari heard that, he broke his bow. Immediately broke his bow. And then he says, I am ready to follow whatever you are saying. He passed the first round. And then Narad Muni gave the further instructions. So he says, Ghare giya brahmane deho yata ache dhan. You go home, and whatever money you have accumulated by your profession, by your killing of animals, by selling the meat and flesh, just distribute among the brahmanas. And then, eka eka vastra pari bahire ahu dvijan. You and your wife just wear one set of clothes and just come out of the house, leave the house and come here. And then what to do? Nadi tire eka khani kutira koriya. Build one house on the banks of a river, one small hut. Tara age eka pinda tulasi ropiya. Then plant one tulasi plant before your house. And what to do after that? It says, tulasi parikrama karo, tulasi sevana. You do parikrama every day and do tulasi seva. And along with that, parikrama and tulasi seva, what to do? Nirantara Krishna nama kariba kirtane. Narad Muni is advising that when you are doing tulsi parikrama and tulsi seva, what should follow? Krishna nam kirtan. But many times it is seen that when you do parikrama around tulsi, that time is the time for many devotees to fix their day's schedule. What to do, whom to meet, what things to be done, meeting with people. And whole discussion goes around while doing yani kani cha papani. Meeting with people. This happened, this problem, that problem, when to meet. Not focusing on the holy name, not focusing on the kirtan. So, but here Narad Muni is instructing, Nirantaro Karo Krishna Nama Kirtana. And then, when Mrigarari accepted all that, because Mrigarari was feeling, how will I survive? But then Narad Muni promised him, saying that, Ami Tomai Bahu Anna Pathimo Dine. Every day I will send a lot of food for you to eat. Say Anna Labo Yata Khao Dui Jane. Whatever food you get, you and your wife, both of you eat. So this is the result. When you serve the instructions of Guru, then Krishna, who takes the words of Guru seriously, he is ready to provide whatever you lack and to maintain whatever you have. That is Krishna's promise. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. So one is serving the body. Second is serving the instruction. But here Prabhupada writes in this purport that the wives of Sobari Muni, they were completely unfit. So one may not be favorable. Devotees may not be favorable. The husband may not be favorable. The wife may not be favorable. Then what is their future? What is their scope? What is their scope of their devotional service? What will happen to their progress? Whether they will begin or whether they will progress. So even though a person may be completely unfit, one may not be qualified, but still, Jai Krishna Radha Gopinath. So even though one may be unfit, one may not be qualified, still, if somehow or the other, one can just stick and remain with the devotees, then also he can benefit. Even though he may not serve the instructions, even though he may not serve the body, still he may benefit. And that is very beautifully depicted in, again, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the pastime of chastisement of Kaliya. So Kaliya was completely envious. He was not just unfit. He was envious of Krishna. He was envious of devotees. But just because he was associating with his wives, who were great devotees, the Nagapatnis, what did he receive? He received the supreme mercy of the Supreme Lord. The dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, which are desired by this goddess of fortune, which are not available to her, that were received by Kaliya. Why? Just because he associated, he stayed with the wives. No desire to serve the instruction, no desire to serve the body. Just being with them is so beneficial. And therefore, after he got the mercy, Krishna would have killed him. But actually, Krishna did not want to kill. Krishna went, entered the lake, just to purify Kaliya, because seeing his connection with his dear devotees, the Nagapatnis. And this is the result of, it is not that only when the husband is sincere devotee, wives are benefited. No. If wives takes to devotional service very seriously, husband may also become a pure devotee. He may also become a devotee. Like Sudama Prabhu was telling a nice instance, because he's traveling nowadays, giving holy name discourses. So he had been to Satara, he was telling that in Satara, there is one Mataji who became devotee first. So very sincere, very regular, attending all the programs, council meetings. And the husband was so envious, so much discouraging, that every 15 days or whenever she used to go for the council meeting, because as we know, our council meeting means they start late and end up late. So she used to come late at 10 o'clock, sometimes 9:30, 10 o'clock. She used to try to come early. And this husband was so envious, so notorious, that if she became late, if she did not return home by 9, what he used to do? He used to lock the door from inside and never open the door till night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And he used to make his wife stay awake outside the house till 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. This was a punishment. And this continued. But the wife was not discouraged. She still continued her service. She still continued attending the programs. And what was the mood? What was the desire? She used to pray to the devotees. She used to pray to the Lord that please pray for my husband that he becomes a devotee. And by the sincere prayers of the devotees and her sincere prayers, what happened? The husband's heart changed. He came to program some or the other once. He heard the discourse and his heart changed. And he took up the process so seriously. Now he stays in the program till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night while doing the winding up. And the wife comes home. So Sudama Prabhu was telling that he never used to allow his wife to come enter the house before 12. So Bhagwan ne uski 12 baja di abhi. Now he is there till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock doing the winding up in the program. So no desire to serve, just the pure and the sincere prayers of wife can change the heart of the husband. And same thing happened with Kaliya. And therefore, when the Lord was dancing on the woods of Kaliya, even seeing the grace of the Lord on Kaliya, even the Nagapatnis were astonished. And what they are praying? Kasyanubhavasya nadeva vidmahe tavangri renu sparsha adhikaraha yadvanchaya shrir lalana acharat tapo vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata. She's telling, my dear Lord, our husband, we don't know what pious credits or what devotional service he has done, that he is receiving the dust of your lotus feet on his head. Tavangri renu sparsha adhikara. He has got the adhikara to come in touch with the dust of your lotus feet. What pious credits he has done. We are not able to understand. That dust which are desired, yad vanchaya shri lalana. Shri lalana. Shri lalana means the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. She is performing tapasya on the banks of Jamuna in the Belvan forest just to receive the dust of your lotus feet, but still she is not successful. And she is performing so much of tapasya, achirat tapo, and that also dhritavrata, with full determination, giving up all her desires, vihaya kaman, suchiram dhritavrata, but still she is not successful. But what pious credit is, kasyanubhavo, what my husband has done to receive, to get the adhikar, to come in touch with the dust of your lotus feet. And then they are praying, tadesha nathapa durappam anyais tamo janai krodha vashopi ashisha samsara chakre brahmata sharirino yad icchato syad vibhavo samakshah. They are praying that, O Lord, although this Kaliya, the king of serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger, he has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls who are full of desires and who are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death can take all benedictions manifest before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. All benedictions, whatever a person may desire, embodied souls. Embodied soul means, however conditioned they may be, however bound they may be by the modes of ignorance or the three modes of material nature, but just by coming in touch with your dust of your lotus feet, by coming in touch with your devotees, by coming in the association of your devotees, one can get purified and one can achieve what others cannot achieve. So Prabhupada very beautifully writes in this purport that although we are conditioned souls, we may not receive the mercy of having the Lord dance on our head. We can receive the mercy of the lotus feet of the Absolute through the Lord's representative, and thus go back home, back to Godhead, forever freed from the misery of ignorance of the mundane universe. Okay. Okay. So this is some program, scheduled program which has come. So, just probably writing, we may not be fortunate enough, like Kaliya, to have the dust of Krishna's lotus feet on our head. But some or the other, if we can please the representatives of Krishna and have or receive the dust of the representatives, then the same benefit what Kaliya received, we can also get. And this is how it functions. Whether serving through body, serving through the instructions, or if you can't do anything, just be in the association. Just be there with the devotees. And this is the month of Kartik, month of Damodar. So we see that we get the grace, some or the other, by being in touch we get the grace. But what should be the reaction, response of the devotee to that grace? Because the Lord and the Lord's representative, out of their mercy, they can give grace to us. And in this month of Damodar, all of us are offering lamps in Damodar Astakam for the grace. But how do we receive? Grace is received not by our endeavors. Grace is received by the mercy of the Lord. But what should we endeavor for? To maintain that grace. That is in our hands, to sustain that grace. So what are the principles which are required to sustain that grace? This is very beautifully being depicted by the prayers of Manigreeva and Nalkuvera. Manigreeva and Nalkuvera receive the grace of Narada Muni, receive the grace of Krishna. But there are beautiful prayers, three prayers which they are praying to Lord Sri Damodar, and that which can also be our prayers when we are offering lamps. So what is the first thing we should do when we receive the grace? The first aspect is one has to glorify the Lord for the grace which we are receiving. And very beautifully, Manigreeva and Nalkuvera, facing Lord Damodar, they are praying. They are saying, Namo Parama Kalyana, my dear Lord, you are the supreme beneficiary. You are the person who does Kalyana, the supreme beneficiary of every living entity. Nama Parama Mangala, you are the person who can bring supreme auspiciousness in anybody's life. Because this is the realization, it is not simply prayers, it is the realizations of their heart which are coming out. Because they know what they were doing, you know, what miserable situation they were in, what sinful life they were leading. But now by the grace of Narada Muni and by the grace of Krishna, their life has completely been transformed. Their life has been completely from impious life, they have been transformed into the most pious life. Such an auspicious situation has been created in their life. And therefore they are praying, my dear Lord, it is only by your grace, because you are the person who are the Parama Mangala. They are praying, Namo Parama Kalyana, Namo Parama Mangala, Vasudevaya Shantaya. You are the person who can bring peace in everybody's life, being the son of Vasudev. Yadunam Pataye Namaha. We offer our obeisances to you, O the supreme leader of the Yadu dynasty. So glorifying the grace of the Lord for whatever he is giving us, whatever we are receiving. But along with glorifying the Lord, every devotee, along with being grateful to the Lord, what he has to do? He has to be grateful to the devotee of the Lord, because of whom we have become eligible to receive the grace of the Lord. So therefore, before leaving, They are praying, my dear Lord, Ajanuhi nau bhumams tavanuchara kinkara darshana nau bhagavata risher asid anugrahat. That today we are so fortunate that we are sitting before you, or we are standing before you face to face. But what has qualified us? Who has qualified us to place us before you face to face? That is Shripad Narad Muni, by his mercy. So what is our prayer? We just want to be the servant of your servants, especially Shripad Narad Muni. Because by his grace, we have been able to see you face to face. So this is an act of gratitude. Without this act of gratitude, one cannot receive or sustain the mercy which one has received. Because as Maharaj very beautifully says, a grateful heart is the heart in which the seed of bhakti grows. So Manigriva and Nalkuvera, they are expressing the great gratitude to Shripad Narad Muni for the mercy which they have received. And how can one sustain the mercy which one is receiving? They are praying. They are saying, Vani gunanu kathane shravanam kathayam hastau chakarmasu manastava padayorna smrityam shivastava nivasa jagat praname drishti satam darshanistu bhavat tanunam. Is telling, my dear Lord, let our vani, from today onwards, whatever comes from our lips, whatever our tongue vibrates, let it be nothing but gunaranu kathane, let it be your glories. Let us continuously sing your glories. Because what they were doing before meeting Narad Muni, they were running behind the apsaras and singing songs, mundane songs, in the Mandakini Ganga in Kailash. But they understood what was their condition by singing the filmy, so not filmy songs, the mundane songs. So they are repenting. They are repenting their behavior, and they are saying, let us now just sing only your glories. Let nothing but your glories vibrate on our tongue and lips. We have heard so many things, but now we are not desiring to hear anything except your pastimes. Kathaya shravanam kathayam. What do you want to hear? Only your glories and your beautiful pastimes. With our hands, we have embraced the apsaras being naked. We were running with our legs in the Kailash, the beautiful gardens of Kailash. But now, we want to run with our hands, with our legs. Hastau chakarmasu. Let our hands and legs be engaged in your service. And vani gunarnu kathane. When they are praying that let us sing your glories, what they are doing? They are accepting the mood of Shripad Narad Muni. Because Narad Muni is engaged 24 hours. Narad Muni bajaye vina Radhika Ramana name. Narad Muni has no other business except singing the glories. So when they have received the mercy of Narad Muni, when they accepted Narad Muni as their guru, what they are doing? They are imbibing the mood of guru. And therefore, essential principle is, if one wants to sustain as a devotee, one has to imbibe the mood of one's spiritual master. The same thing Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was preaching, his act of preaching was what? The mood of preaching was what? That which he imbibed from Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta's preaching was considered by his disciples as a chopping technique, because Bhakti Siddhanta never compromised. He never compromised when he met with Mayavadis or some people, those who were against the Siddhanta of Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. He completely defeated them. So his disciples also accepted the mood. And those, many of his disciples, they felt, oh, this is too difficult. This is very not proper technique. Nobody is going to become disciples, become devotees like this. But it is mentioned in Lilamrit that all those who criticized Bhakti Siddhanta for his mood, for his chopping technique, what happened? They fell down. But those who imbibed the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, like Srila Prabhupada, they were successful in preaching the holy name throughout the world. So imbibing the mood of the spiritual master for one's survival in Krishna consciousness is most essential. And that is what Manigriva and Nalkuvera are praying. Let us imbibe the mood of Narad Muni. Let us constantly sing, let us constantly hear, and with our hands and legs, constantly serve the Supreme Lord. And with our mind, Let us not think anything except your beautiful form and your pastimes. And then you are praying, may our heads always offer obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are in relationship to you. They are only manifesting in different forms. May our eyes see your beautiful form of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. So only by this act of gratitude one can survive in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when we are offering lamp, only a few days are remaining now for this month of Kartik, when we are offering prayers, we may offer prayers for ourselves, but following the mood of in the footsteps of Manigriva and Nalakuvera, there should also be an aspect of gratitude. When you are offering lamps, we have to offer lamps and pray for those devotees, those who have helped us, those who have brought us, those who are still helping us for our progress on the path of Krishna consciousness. Many times it may happen that those devotees, those who have brought us in Krishna consciousness, they may not be active, they may not be even devotees, they may be engaged in sense gratification now. But if with a mood of gratitude, if we can offer lamp on their behalf in this month of Damodar, then they can also be benefited, and along with them, we will also be benefited. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. So today,